decisions about the capitalization of the Industrial Accident Fund, the administration of that fund by Safe Corporation, the effect of Safe Corporation has on the workers' comp market, and the existence of and potential disposition of excess funds pursuant to ORS 656634. Now, while I realize you guys have all read that bill, the report, and have it memorized perfectly, I did tab it to highlight a few sections that might be of interest to you.
All right.
But the bill accomplishes the purpose in two ways. First, the bill requires the Secretary of State to annually conduct an audit and a comprehensive actuarial review of Safe Corporation. Those findings will go to the governor and to the legislature. It sets out minimum requirements for that review. The actuarial review will differ significantly from the audits now performed. It will go behind the published numbers and examine the underlying assumptions used by SAFE to establish its reserves and surplus. It will analyze the reasonableness of those assumptions and the resulting levels of reserves and surplus. It will allow a comparison of industry norms both in Oregon and nationally. The review is intended to be comprehensive so that you, the legislature, may understand the effect Safe Corporation has on the competitive market, especially given that report that we passed out. And it may determine if the Industrial Accident Fund is undercapitalized or, in the alternative, contains funds subject to legislative disposition as authorized by ORS 656634. It is expected that an independent firm will do this review. The information obtained by the firm is protected from improper disclosure by a third party. The second way that the bill accomplishes its purpose is a report that SAFE Corporation will provide directly to the Secretary of State. The bill requires SAFE to tell the Secretary of State what portion of its assets in the Industrial Accident Fund it believes are actuarially necessary as claims reserves, what portions are actuarially necessary as surplus, and what additional monies are in the Industrial Accident Fund. Under existing law, this additional money or excess money is the same that is subject to legislative disposition under ORS 656634. The bill does not change existing law in any way in this form. It does not interfere with SAFE's ability to pay dividends from excess funds, but it does require Safe Corporation to tell the Secretary what excess funds it holds. Again, Mr. Chair, this is a compromise bill that went through many arduous hearings on the other side. It's sound policy because it strives for information so that you or the legislature can make decisions. As you know, SAFE is a state-owned business. The legislature has a responsibility to know what that business is doing. This bill is one means to keep the Legislative Assembly and the public fully informed. Along with my testimony is a synopsis of the testimony and a bullet-by-bullet of the bill, Mr. Chair, but in deference to time, I'll conclude my remarks unless you have questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Chris?
Mr. Chair, committee members, I'm Chris Davey with Safe Corporation. I'm speaking in support of House Bill 3918B. This is indeed a compromise between Safe Corporation and Liberty Northwest, which led a coalition of private insurer interests on this bill and on a predecessor version. There are various versions of this bill that were debated before the House Smart Growth and Commerce Committee. Earlier versions would have impaired Safe's ability to accomplish its mission in reducing the cost of workers' compensation insurance for Oregon employers. But ultimately, those versions were unsuccessful, and we resulted in this agreement that is embodied in 3980. SAFE does provide annual reports to the legislature now on its operations and its finances. I have here a copy of the annual report that we would have provided to each member of the legislature in April. What this bill does is now require that we provide additional information to the Secretary of State each year about our finances. And the Secretary of State will augment, if you like, the audits that they are already doing every year. They'll make specific actuarial findings and will contract with a private actuarial firm and report that back to the legislature.
I'm trying to slow you down.
We support this bill. We think it will give the legislature assurance about the solvency of the Industrial Accident Fund and the operations of Safe Corporation. If I could just say one word about the study that was handed out to you, I have not given you copies with tabs attached, but I suspect that the tabs may be pointing to parts of the study that we may not agree with, We did have some differences about what that study contains and what the conclusions might be. Let me just give you a couple of points that do come from the study. The study says that there is not a problem with the workers' compensation market today. It raises questions about the future if SAFE were to continue to pay the high level of dividends that it has in the past. Fact is that market conditions have changed, and it's highly unlikely that those dividends would continue at that rate. The study says that the employers in Oregon have hundreds of choices of workers' compensation insurers today, and that private insurance companies are making a profit in this state. In fact, Liberty Northwest market share in Oregon is the second largest in the nation. There's only one state where they have a higher market share than Oregon. And the average rate of return on private insurance companies in this state is higher than the national average. And if you delve through the 900 pages of that study, there's also about 600 pages of appendices, and you'll find all that information there. I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Senator Minnis.
Mr. Davies, page 2, I guess line 4, information provided to the actuarial firm conducting the annual review is subject to the same limitations on public inspections as required for the records of the State Accident Insurance Fund Corporation. Question is, what does that mean?
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, that means that whatever the law says today about the availability of safe records to the public will apply to the information that's provided to the actuarial firm, and they would be bound by those same restrictions in the information that they can release.
Same restrictions or same?
So, well, either way, Senator, same obligations or restrictions.
Same access through public records law or?
Whatever the law is today.
All right. Thank you.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question to either of you. What is the difference between I'm not familiar with
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, the state, Secretary of State audits according to generally accepted accounting principles. Insurance companies are required to do their accounting according to something that's called statutory accounting principles. And so all this means is that the Secretary of State will in fact do two audits. They'll audit the books according to both sets of principles.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Senator Beyer, the significance to step forward, we have both staff and GAAP to give you comparison data, which you can look at as the presumptions. And what we're trying to get out is the underlying assumptions that are done and decisions that are made on reserving policies, surplus policies, and other things. By comparison of GAAP and staff, it will give us more data to work from. And in fact, since it's a public entity, the feeling is the better the data, the better the comparison. Working with the audit division, that was the best way to go.
Okay, Senator Atkinson.
A couple of questions, Mr. Chair. Paul, you mentioned this in your comments. I just want to reiterate.
Ways and Means refused to go right before.
Received a lot of emails about, I think this was regarding this previous bill, but one that does mention the dash A, so A version we have now. Will this bill take away dividends and will it lead to higher workers' comp?
Mr. Chair, Senator, no, it will not take away dividends, and it will not raise or increase the cost in any way.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, one more question. Chris, a lot of the emails I have, I'm going to read one here before I ask my question. It says, I received a letter from SAFE urging policyholders to write our reps and oppose it. Now that you're on board with this, will SAFE be writing a letter to policyholders that was written to originally and tell them that it's a compromise bill and it's okay now?
Mr. Chair and Senator Atkinson, we will be notifying policyholders that this issue is resolved in a way that we will support, yes.
When?
I can't tell you that exactly.
Then while we're here, or, I guess I would ask that if we can do that, if we could do that soon.
Yes, Senator, we can do that soon.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Soon, Senator Minnis.
Well,
I'm interested in the whatever the publication was, or communication with policyholders, suggesting that policyholders support or oppose legislation. Did that happen?
Yes, Senator Minnis.
Under what authority?
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, we are regularly asked by policyholders to keep them informed of issues that are before the legislature.
But is your position to provide facts, or is your position to provide a suggested position on a piece of legislation before this body?
Policyholders ask them to let them know how legislation will affect them, and so that is what we've done.
Do you provide that in a balanced way, or do you suggest you should oppose this?
I think in this case we suggested that earlier versions of this bill should be opposed, because policyholders have told us that they want to see their workers' compensation costs minimized, and earlier versions of this bill certainly would not have done that.
Where do you get the authority to advocate for the passage or failure of any piece of legislation?
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, Safe Corporation has regularly appeared before the legislature and advocated for or against pieces of legislation.
Senator Atkinson.
I just got this from Senator Byer. I've got a stack of people who responded to the Safe Corporation letter May 11th to the business in Springfield. The lead is act now to oppose this bill, -A. Help preserve safe funds for policyholders and workers. This bill is just the first step in a long-term plan to divert any safe dividends from policyholders for other state purposes that will lead to higher workers' compensation costs. Contact your state representative and center of the day. Their names, contact information are listed below. Tell them workers' compensation insurance is too important to play political games. And then it's got your mailing address and the representatives. So,
who wrote the letter?
How soon? Let's define soon. When is this going to go out and say the statements?
Who wrote the letter?
Do you know who wrote this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, that came from our office.
Right. Do you know who?
Well, I think it was a senator. I think it was a combined effort. I don't think one person was an author.
I see no one signed it.
It's an official safe communication.
And you think this was entirely appropriate?
Yes, Senator. That, and Senator, that letter does not refer to the current version of the bill. That letter referred to earlier versions of this bill. I think perhaps that's 3980, that is this bill, but it was an earlier version of the bill that is not the bill that's before you today.
So we should assume that there were updates that went along with the amended versions of this letter? That
there have not been individual updates sent out, but I think if you will look at the Safe Corporation website today, there is information on there that this issue is resolved.
The follow-up I had to a question of Senator Minnis was he asked you on what authority that you advocate for or against the passage of legislation. You said that you routinely do this. What I'd be interested in is the specific authority where you are given the ability to do that. Not just your practice, but under what authority do you make these political judgments?
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, I'm not sure that you'll find anything specific in the statute that gives that authority, but equally I don't think you'll find anything that says that that authority is not there.
Well, maybe we'll have to clear it up.
I have
Senator Atkinson.
I have 18 of these letters. I would like some official letter from SAY, my request that I can send back to all these people who contacted my office that the safe is now neutral on. And this says that, or is now supportive of the A version of this bill.
Councilor Dash B is the version that's before you.
Okay, well, I want something from Safe.
We'll be happy to do that.
On board.
Where are you guys on this? You want to vote on today or come back tomorrow?
I want to talk about this.
Want to talk a little bit about, okay, we'll close work session and I'll put it on tomorrow's schedule. Close work session, House Bill 3980, open work session. House Bill 2184. You may, which one?
I don't know.
We're gonna have.
Democrats made a case, and the Republicans who loved it.
Well, but that's the way it used to be with the kicker. We're all doing this little kind of brawl.
Okay.
We'll talk about that at the meeting today, the 303.
Doug Riggs, Paul Cleary, Martha Pagel. Yeah, Paul's upstairs.
Anybody object to this? I'm gonna just move it. Look, I mean, you know, I mean, with all due respect, I'm not trying to push people around.
Everybody like this?
A short synopsis for Senator Courtney.
Mr. Chairman. Oh, I'm sorry.
Could you, Mr. Matter? Could you speak, please?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Doug Riggs, here today representing Central Oregon Cities Organization. I will be very brief. I will let Martha give the synopsis. I just wanted to make 2 points, if I could. This bill is a result of a long process, a long collaborative process, sponsored by Senator Bev Clarno. This session, we had probably a dozen work groups on this bill. There have been a number of issues raised both in the House and in the Senate over the past few days. We believe we have resolved all of those issues. And all of the major water groups are either supportive or neutral on the bill. And beyond that, I'd say good bill. Please pass it. Thank you.
Okay. Martha, do you like your statement? Martha Pagel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Martha Pagel with Schwabe Williamson and Wyatt Law Firm, and I'm here representing the city of Redmond and have been working on this bill throughout the session. I've provided detailed written testimony that gives you a section-by-section analysis and background on what's going on in the Deschutes Basin, along with the particular interests of the city of Redmond. I can quickly say to summarize what the bill does, though. It creates new provisions in law that relate to the concept of mitigation credit and mitigation banking. And mitigation comes into play when somebody, and this bill applies only to the Deschutes Basin, I should be clear, that when somebody applies for a new groundwater right in the Deschutes Basin, the department determines that that groundwater use is going to have an impact on surface water flows in the Deschutes River, then the department will require mitigation. The bill doesn't do anything about that basic requirement of mitigation or what qualifies as mitigation. It kicks in if somebody decides that they have to do mitigation. It's a tool to help them comply with that requirement. It allows people to get credit for a project that results in water for mitigation, and it allows the department to recognize a mitigation bank to be formed in the local area to help facilitate the transactions.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tom Beiler. I'm the legislative coordinator for the Water Resources Department. Paul Cleary could not make it today. An appointment with the governor. I'll be very brief as well. The department does support House Bill 2184A. This bill sets up, in essence, an accounting system to deal with mitigation efforts within the Deschutes Basin. It applies only to the Deschutes Basin. It does not create any new mitigation obligation or affect existing statutory requirements under current water law. The bill would also establish or allow the Water Resources Commission to establish a local mitigation bank, which could help facilitate the transaction of these credits within the basin. The department considers this to be somewhat of a test in terms of applying this kind of an accounting system within a basin, and we would want to see how this works through the Deschutes Basin before we would ever support moving this type of legislation into another basin. Also, this bill requires that we do annual reports on this mitigation credit accounting system, and we are committed to provide that to the public through a mailing list that we would have available. We are also committed to provide copies of those reports to the legislative leadership as well as any substantive committee that would be operating on natural resources issues during that time.
Thank you. Senator Atkins, I believe, has a question.
And I apologize to the entire panel that I didn't talk to you first. This is both my question with regards to dash sixes. You guys had a proposed dash six addition.
We don't have any amendments proposed, I don't believe, Senator Atkins. Do we?
What bill are you on?
Well, now we're really.
You want a letter from SAFE about that?
They'll give you one.
I don't know how many people got.
Okay, wait.
Well.
You got dash sixes for 2184?
Apparently so. And apparently the rest, if you don't have it, none of you have it.
And nobody else has it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Atkinson, there was talk this morning that we heard that had come up about a proposal for a sunset. And I don't know if that's what this is. We have worked that issue out with the proponents.
If we got an amendment hanging out there that we don't know about,
I'm doing this as a service for one of my constituents. Let me tell you what this is, and I apologize to the rest of the committee. Dealing with having the DSL work with creating a wetlands mitigation bank revolving fund account, for establishing a wetlands conservation mitigation banking service pilot project in Southern Oregon. And so is this. This would fit, I was told.
Someone want I hear yes please.
Chair members of the committee, Martha Pagel. I was just made aware of that possible conceptual amendment. I mean, it doesn't relate to the topic of the bill that we've all been working on. It relates to a completely separate issue.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Sir Atkins, sir.
Could I go out in the hall and talk to these guys about this?
I'm not going to. Sure, that's fine. I'm not going
to. We might have a chance, and if we don't.
That's fine.
But let me. And we'll come back. I'm an aye vote on the bill. Come back to it.
Okay, I'm going to recess the work session on House Bill 2184 and move on to another piece of legislation. House Bill 3424A. Jeff Carlson, please. The Iron Workers Local 29 would like to come forward and speak on that bill, please. That's fine. That's great. Let me see. 2424, right? Yes.
We don't want them.
Huh?
34-24.
I'm not.
You done with that donut?
The donut, yes. And the iron worker will speak to us. Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. And my name is Jeff Carlson. I represent Iron Workers Local 29. I'm here today to urge support for House Bill 3424. This bill amends ORS 279.363 by requiring contracting agencies to notify the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industry in writing to include first-tier subcontractors within 30 days of awarding a public works contract. Current law requires only prime contractors to be registered. This bill, if passed, will make it easier to track contractors and help assure compliance of Oregon's prevailing wage laws. I urge your support of House Bill 3424. Thanks for your time, and I will answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. My committee is down to two, but do you have a question for Mr. Carlson? Thank you very much for your testimony. We can't do anything because my boys and men and women are gone.
Okay.
I'm going to sit here a while. Representative Mercury up here? Can he vote? Yes. You do have a question now?
I do.
He has a question. Just Senator Beyer.
Your testimony says 30 days, and the bill says immediately available. Is that an acceptable 30 days, is that true?
Mr. Chair, Representative Byer, or Senator Byer, currently, the way the law is, the contracting agency has to, within 30 days, register the prime contractor, and this just is in addition with, to add first-tier subcontractors. There's no difference in the time frame.
But the bill itself, though, doesn't have the 30 days, it has immediately or not. In the industry, that's fine.
I believe so, yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson, again, thank you very much. And now I see one member coming back. Where is the Miller? You tell Miller to get in here. BFC to get in here. I need you, I want you, and I'm not going to go further than that. All right, Senator Miller moves. House Bill 3424, A engrossed the 10th floor, the due pass recommendation. Is there any objection? Thank you. I'll carry that bill. All right, Senator, help me, Senator Atkinson.
Yeah, go back.
All right.
Let's move.
Well, I got to hold it. You can't do that yet.
Hit something.
We are out of recess and back into work session. House Bill 2184, A engrossed. Senator Atkinson moves. House Bill 2184, A engrossed the 10th floor with the due pass recommendation. Any objection? I think that's going to go to Senator Clarno. Does that make sense?
Giddy up.
Huh?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
You don't.
Tiffy, please.
You don't want to carry it, do you, Senator Miller? You want to carry it, Senator Miller?
No.
Do you want to carry it, Senator Atkins?
I'd love to, but if Senator...
I'll tell you what.
Every bill has another.
What? Well, they want me to give it to Senator Clarno because they don't think you're very effective in carrying bills. That's what Marjorie said. What? Okay, all right. All right, let's go. House, Randy, don't you leave. You don't go. You can't leave me now. I need you. I want you. I don't want to say much. Oh, I closed the work session. I just did. House, open the work, public hearing work session. House Bill 2322. Ken Cadell, Pete Shepard, Scott Berry. Where's Representative Merkley? Where's the big guy? Go get Merkley. Go get my Stanford Cardinal. Where is he? You can't start for FP. You can't start until Merkley. Merkley gets, because otherwise he'll get offended. His ego will get bent out of shape. Representative Merkley, would you get up here, please? I called your name. I'm making everybody wait for you. No, you can sit there. No, I don't want up there alone. He thinks he's got a big... You sit there. Who else did I call?
Ding, ding.
Did I call you?
Wrong shot.
Ken.
And Scott, get up here. Get a chair and get up here. It's a force. No, you can't take Jeff Merkley. Get away. That's his. That is Merkley's chair.
Well, then I'll definitely take it.
We're waiting. We're waiting, Cardinal.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Representative Jeff Merkley from East Portland. I'm passing out a dash A7 amendment. And it's not on DNA testing. You'll all be relieved to know. There is a bill currently sitting on the governor's desk that is meant to address a problem that has occurred in residential development. And that problem is that when the builder of a home also owns the land, when the developer of a residential property also owns the land, the subs are not required to provide any notice of right to lien. It's an implicit right to lien. The person who is developing the home then sells the piece of property to a homeowner, and the homeowner has a title search. The title search does not turn up the implicit right to lien, but because it's implicit, because it's not yet a lien that has been filed with the county. It's just a right to lien. And so a person buys the home, and suddenly they start getting letters from the subcontractors saying, we've never been paid, and you're responsible to pay us. And this happened to a very good friend of mine and a large number of other people simultaneously. The developer went back bankrupt shortly after selling out a subdivision. It's a situation that doesn't tend to occur in commercial property for a couple of reasons. First, because in most cases, rights to lien are expected in paper. And second, because the lender requires waivers as they disperse the funds, so that the lender in a commercial situation plays a large controlling role. And third, because the buyer has a lawyer who understands commercial transactions and makes sure this sort of thing doesn't happen. So the bill we have on the governor's desk is designed to prevent Oregonians from having this bizarre situation of buying a home, buying title insurance, and then having to pay for the home a second time. This is the pay for the home a second time bill. But there was a problem that was found after this got to the governor's desk, and this amendment is designed to address it. It is a small change from what there was. Apparently, in the version that went to the governor's desk, a term was used that was defined elsewhere in the code, unbeknownst to the drafter or anyone who was involved in this as it went through the committee process. So I would ask that it be the will of the committee, if this doesn't slow down the bill otherwise, this would enable this problem to be fixed in a better fashion than the version that is before the governor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your very good and comprehensive statement, Representative Merkley. You want to say, the other witnesses, I understand you're all for the bill. That is, you're signed up for it, right? Rather than have you testify, I must tell you, I cannot move the bill right now. I understand the chair has some thoughts about the amendment. I'm not trying to shake you up, Representative Merkley. The Rules Committee will meet again tomorrow. We're on a one-hour notice. You understand? So I don't feel right about doing it right now. I've been, staff has advised me of that. So I don't want to cut anybody. Is anyone else, those here that have been invited forward, do you feel you need to give extensive testimony on the bill? I'm not trying to shut anybody down, but I notice that you're all for the bill, and a good representative done is, I think, an excellent job in describing what this is all about.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Pete Shepard, Deputy Attorney General, we would support Representative Merkley's effort to include this in the bill.
Okay. Anything? I don't want to, Scott. Okay. Thank you very much. And Jeff, you want to check with staff here and Steve Harper, and I think whatever the issue on the amendment, you know, because I understand the bill's got to go to Ways and Means. Is that correct? And sometimes is of essence, right?
Are you referring to the amendment or the bill?
The bill itself. Well, okay. You're telling me the amendment would take it. The bill itself, I understand, needs to go to Ways and Means.
Okay. I see.
Okay, I'm not trying to confuse you, Jeff.
No, it happens easily.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I close the public hearing. And this particular measure, which was House Bill 2322. Okay, I'd like to open a public hearing on HCR 11. Representative Jensen, would you come forward, please? I understand you are in the room and you wish to speak to that.
Stay here, everybody. This is simple. We'll go out by the way with this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to be here to speak to you very briefly and encourage your support and passage of HCR 11. HCR 11, very simply, is a memorial to for the servicemen of the United States who fought in and served in the Korean activity, and for those who were killed or missing in action and still unreported in Korea. The Korean action, or military action, as it was referred to at the time, really was one of America's significant wars. There were 3,940 American soldiers were killed in that war. There were 7,000 taken as prisoners, and there are at least 8,177 still unaccounted for, some 50, almost 50 years later now. 19,000 Oregonians served in that action, 706 were wounded, 276 were killed, 62 died as prisoners of war, and 61 are still listed as missing in action. The Korean War certainly, was a, from these figures, a major encounter as far as the United States was concerned. And it's kind of been, it has been referred to as the Forgotten War, since it was never a declaration of war by the Congress of the United States, but the consequences were the same for those people who served there. under this United, or under the United Nations forces. So we would ask and encourage that you pass out this House Concurrent Resolution 11. The veterans from the Korean War will be forever grateful for your support on this.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Questions? This memorial speaks to what is sometimes referred to as the Forgotten War, if I'm not mistaken. That is sometimes what it is, and it's sort of sad because that is what's been referred to. Is that right, Representative?
That's right, being one who was in the service at that time, though I was never went to Korea, that was a consequence only of the fact that Uncle Sam writes the orders and you go where you're told to go when you're told to be there, you know, as you all are aware. So,
thank you very much for bringing this to us today. Walter Cruz, C-R-E-W-S.
Cruz.
No. But that's U-Z. We'll see what happens.
Just like a work for it. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Walter Cruz, Master Sergeant, United States Air Force, retired, and the legislative representative for the Non-Commissioned Officers Association, also for the United Veterans Groups of Oregon and the Korean War Veterans Association here in Oregon. I understand you have pressing stuff to do, so all I'm going to say is I request you send this bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Well, thank you, Walter. While we have pressing stuff to do, I know the committee would like their immediate action on this, quick action to be interpreted as the great reverence and appreciation for what all those men and women did when they served in this war. So I hope you understand we are moving quickly, nothing else, to show our appreciation. And I really think you got a cute little beaver here in your cover page. I got a kick out of that for anybody from Oregon State. Well, you're a Duck fan, so anyway, but thank you, Walter.
I'm still voting for this.
The beaver's supposed to represent Oregon.
Okay. Senator Miller moves. H.C. We're in work session now. I'm going to take care of that in the future. Watch me.
H.C.R. 11 to the floor. Do pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Miller has moved. H.C.R. 11 A amended, as amended, to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any objection? Okay.
I'd be happy to.
Senator Miller would like to carry that, and we will let you do so.
Okay.
And I know that no one can do it better than you, buddy. What are we doing now? House bill, open a public hearing and work session on House bill. See, I've done that, buddy. House bill 3673A, as amended. Step forward, John Phillips. John Hoffman. Jack Monroe, please. Will all three come forward, or most of you, whoever's here?
This just can't be right. What's Monroe doing with these fine people?
Did we do care of this? Can I take care of this?
Oh, geez.
Is this one going to be all right? Okay, whoever's going to speak first, please speak first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Kaufman. I'm Clackamas County Clerk and representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks. House Bill 3673 seeks to clarify what kinds of documents we record. Statutes last session require or stated that we would record documents required or permitted by law to be recorded. And the amendments here in 3673 come to you as a joint effort with the Oregon Land Title Association, the Oregon Bar Association, to make it clearer the documents that we are to be recording. The amendments that we have proposed represent an agreement that has been in effect with the Department of Revenue and the county clerks over how we collect a fee that was approved last session.
Jack, you represent who here today?
I'm Jack Monroe, here today on behalf of the Oregon Land Title Association, and we would concur with Mr. Kaufman's comments and urge your passage of the bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is John Phillips, for the record, with the Department of Revenue, and we're here in support of the Dash A5, which, as Mr. Kaufman indicated, is a resolution to a conflict that was created from two bills last session, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions or comments for the gentleman? Thank you very much for your testimony. Representative Miller moves the Dash. Senator, excuse me.
Oh, does somebody have a question?
Just a question on page four, the...
Okay.
Dash four amendments, I guess they are.
I think it's dash.
Dash A5.
A5.
The bolded language, was it the 5%? You have 5% of this money going to one program, 5% going to another, with the bolded language, why are we doing that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Menace, the way this was worked out last session was that the recording fee be reduced and spread out to more types of documents, and so that's what happened. And then there was a bill that passed right in the last days of the session in the press of business that said that there would be a 5% allocation to the clerks for their recording responsibilities. And there was a question as to whether or not the policy of the committees and its body was to allow that dollar that's in it's referred to in line 15 through 18 on page 4, goes to the Oregon Land Information System, which is a system that creates an Oregon map, and with the will of the body to assign one full dollar of each recording to that map project. And then there was a question about whether the 5% related to that, because they both passed at different times. This resolves that.
Yeah, just clarify this one. Thank you. Further questions? Thank you. Senator Miller, you?
I do move it.
Mr. Senator Miller has moved the dash A5 amendments to House Bill 3673. Is there any objections to that?
Move the bill as amended to the floor.
Senator Miller has moved House Bill 3673 as amended to the Senate floor. Do pass recommendation. Any objection? Thank you very much. Senator Lee Byer will carry that bill, please. But
the commissioner.
House Bill, open public hearing and work session. House Bill 2235. 2235. Where are we?
Eliminate state.
Yeah, this one stunned me when I first read it. I don't know what's going on here. Who's here on that, please? Printing state printer. We just done away with the whole state printer.
No more bills then. Great.
Please.
Good morning, Senator Courtney, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Terbor Koksaresh, and I'm the manager of publishing and distribution for the Department of Administrative Services. The aid and growth version of House Bill 2235 is a non-controversial house cleaning bill that allows DAS to operate its publishing and distribution functions more efficiently and effectively. In addition, Section 11 of the bill added by Representative Hill instructs DAS to provide electronic versions of documents to state agency clients. This makes it easier for agencies to publish documents electronically in addition to or in lieu of printed documents. In the interest of time, I won't read my written testimony. The bill passed in the House 60-0, and as far as we know, there's no opposition. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? We have his written statement. He is here in person. Thank you very much for both. Senator Miller moves House Bill 2235 and gross to the Senate floor. Do pass recommendation. Are there any objections? Senator Atkinson will carry that bill. What am I doing now? I'm not.
Next page.
No, I didn't. Which I thought it was the reason. No. John doesn't want that. I don't do that. House Bill 2964, hey?
That's it.
Are you helping me on that one?
Yeah.
Public hearing work session, House Bill 2964.
Monty King.
Monty King, House Bill 2964. Nobody else has signed up. 49-0 in the House. I'm waiting.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Monty King, Executive Director and the Theater Education Administrator for the Oregon Independent Auditors Association. House Bill 2964 is to keep the scumbags out of Oregon.
Keep the what?
Scumbags out of Oregon. And that was said on the House floor by one of the representatives, and that's exactly what it does.
They're in charge of the mule money.
It's a mic. Especially known as my scumbag bill.
And it does what, quickly, please?
We want to keep dealers, people who are revoked or suspended in other states from being dealers and coming into Oregon and being dealers here.
Let me get this straight. Their license has been revoked for?
For being really bad dealers and ripping people off and everything else in the other states.
Okay.
And they come here and they get a license.
There's no law in the book that prohibits that.
There is currently a rule, but I don't know of any statutory authority really for it, and we want to make it really clear. We want to keep them out of the state.
All right. Questions, comments? Yes, Senator Miller.
Is there some way to rehabilitate yourself if you've been suspended in another state and maybe you've decided you're going to operate a little more honorably? Is there some appeal process to Oregon or another jurisdiction?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller, they would have to clear up their problem with the other state first, and they should clear up the other state or let their suspension and revocation expire before they can come here.
Let the revocation expire? How long does that last normally?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller, usually in Oregon, when a license is suspended, it's suspended for, I think, 3 years. We can get clarification on that. That's usually here, they're put on probation for a year, or they're suspended for 3 years. Once in a great while, there is a permanent revocation.
If it was a similar statutory scheme in another state, maybe 5 years had gone by since they were suspended and they came here, one, would you find a record of that suspension in the other state? And two, if it had been that five-year period, would they still not be able to operate here, or would?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller, as long as they were still revoked or suspended in the other state, they should not be able to do business here. That's the position of our association. If every state has the same kinds of things we do, where they have an appeals process, they can fight it. I mean, we have a whole appeals process, too. People in this business who get suspended don't get suspended just for little rules violations. They get suspended because they take tens of thousands and millions of dollars of money away from people. There was just one here in Oregon that I don't even want to go into it, but let's say it's over $2 million.
If you were, I imagine you have to pay, do you pay an annual fee to be licensed, or I don't know what the 3-year license? If you failed to renew, or you didn't pay in a timely fashion, would you be suspended, revoked, or just
Mr. Chairman, not licensed? Miller, your license would just expire.
It expired. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator, that's you? Okay. Thank you very much, Moni. Senator Miller moves House Bill.
You got to go on a work session, probably.
I'm in the work session. I covered that. That's what I'm doing now. Senator Miller moves House Bill 2964 as amended to the Senate floor of the DuPage recommendation.
I do.
And there any objection? PT carries. Okay.
More questions, Street.
House Bill, open public hearing and work session on House Bill 3336, A and Gross.
My favorite bill. Power axle unit.
Mike Dewey. Kristen Mitchell, please. Waste Management, Oregon Refuse and Recycling.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure everybody.
You're alone? Okay.
Mr. Chair, I think I am alone.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Mike Dewey representing Waste Management. This is a bill that deals with tires for refuse garbage trucks, and we worked out a compromise with the cities and the counties and ODOT. There's some new technology allowing in many states now where the garbage trucks can use a smaller tire on the front, and it does not cause additional wear and tear because of the way it is built. And the collection of the garbage industry would like to be able to use these kind of tires because, one, they are safer. Secondly, we can recap those tires and use those on the back of the truck, and therefore it's more environmentally sound. And third, it doesn't cause the wear and tear. So we have set up a process where ODOT could adopt rules and develop a list of tires that could be these are on the manufacturer's rating, and then they could be used, these smaller tires could be used by the garbage industry or the refuse industry. And so it is a compromise between the cities and the counties. ODOT, and you have an amendment that says, other than shall, it says may adopt rules. They wanted to make sure that they could work out a compromise first before they adopted the rule, because there is a provision that we have to make sure that these tires do not cause additional wear and tear to the roads. And so we would hope you would pass this bill because it is these tires are safer, they are more environmentally sound, and they do not cause additional wear and tear to the roads. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Questions?
Yeah.
Senator Menace.
This is a completely different bill now from what it was originally introduced.
Yes, it is.
And that occurred, I assume, occurred in the House.
Actually, what occurred is the original bill that we introduced was in the Senate Transportation Committee. And the chair of that committee introduced the bill for us. And the bill didn't move over to another committee, so we had to find another vehicle. And the proponents of 3336 were, because it had such a huge fiscal, we were very happy that they were able, we were able to use that particular bill.
They were recycling.
Rather than printing another bill, we wanted to.
It's another environmental recycle.
Is this an environmental vote?
I'm sorry?
Is this an environmental vote?
Oh, I think so.
Aren't they all?
I'll have to vote no.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No one else has signed up, and so got to take him at his words. Everybody loves it. We do have an A4 amendment, and Senator Miller has moved the A4 amendment to House Bill 3336.
Did you transition into work session again?
We did it. Did you listen to the way I start these things? I'm there to begin with.
Bypassing hearings.
Any objections? Senator Miller has now moved House Bill 3336 as amended to the floor and due pass recommendation. Any objections? Senator Menace would carry that bill.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Okay. I'll think about emotionally what I want to do.
Actually, let me do this. This will be my environmental vote.
Do you want to carry it?
This will be an environmental bill.
Okay.
I'll give a great environmental
bill. John, I thought you wanted to do it for that reason.
Yeah, I do.
Senator Menace, please.
I wanted to declare a potential conflict.
You've got
a conflict on that bill.
On that bill?
Okay. My oldest brother was chairman of the board of waste management.
Oh, excuse me. Go back. We haven't closed it.
He's now involved somehow, but...
You have a Senator Miller wishes to declare a conflict of interest on 3336 that his oldest brother is in tires.
He was the chairman, of the waste management.
Oh, waste management. Okay. Fine.
Now he's involved in something.
Okay, we have that. Open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2912. We've been told we're holding over 3839. So public hearing works. I don't know.
We received an amendment at the last minute to look at.
House Bill 2912, and we have Ron Murray. He brought the whole news. I looked up in the world there.
Is there any opposition?
Chair Courtney, members of the committee, my name is Ron Murray. I'm with the United Association of Plumbers and Steam Fitters. And for the record, we co-sponsored this bill.
I did?
We did. By the, excuse my voice, but thanks for your support. By the City of Portland Bureau of Emergency Services. Currently, the situation is local building officials and local fire officials can make infrastructure trade-offs for residential fire sprinkler systems. But that decision then has to be approved by the Building Codes Division. And through the good graces of Mr. Brewer from Building Codes Division, he feels that this is really kind of a local issue, and he has agreed that this is a good bill to allow basically local rule.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Burton Weiss on behalf of the Oregon Fire District Directors Association. We support the bill and the amendments. We have worked on the amendments with all the interested parties, and we have no opponents to the bill.
He's referring to the Dash A5 amendments. Yes, please.
Joe Landry, representing the Plumbing Mechanical Contractors Association. I just want to emphasize that this is a practice that local jurisdictions are currently employing, and this just takes down... allows to take the right guidelines and then take out an extra administrative
Thank you. Questions, comments for these three individuals who are speaking on this bill as well as the amendment? Thank you, gentlemen. Senator Miller moves the dash.
Into a work session?
We're in work session.
I move the amendment.
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller moves the dash A5 amendments to House Bill 2912. You can leave now. You don't have to stay there.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Ms. Taylor for all her work, though. I know we've bugged her to death on this.
You'd like to thank Ms. Taylor?
Ms. Taylor, yes.
Oh, yeah?
She was very nice.
Well, is that right?
She did a good job.
Oh, you want to go to coffee or something? Where's the story? You do that some other time. You don't take the time. You know, you do that. Okay, thank you. Any objections? Thank you.
Yeah, and then move the bill as amended to the floor and do pass recommendation.
Senator Miller moves House Bill 2912 as amended to fully do pass recommendation. Any objections? Does he? You want to carry it?
Okay. I'll carry it.
Senator Miller, would you like to carry that? Oh, wait a minute. You're carrying the Korean War one.
But everybody else has it.
Oh, that's right. Okay, we start. Okay.
You know, we could do some for Brown.
Okay. Yeah, you want to send it? Well, that's out of Portland, right? Senator Brown carries that bill.
Yeah, that's her. Senator
Brown.
Bill.
She's going to get that bill.
She's
I don't
the
care.
Sponsor.
Did I sponsor it?
No.
Did I? No, I didn't sponsor it. Okay. We have one bill left. House, we open the work session. No. Public hearing work session on House Bill 3479A and Gross, Bob Livingston. This is the last bill, committee.
Oh, my gosh.
And we've done remarkable things here this morning. I mean, we just flat out went at it. Football. He said, we got after it. That's a football saying.
Take a little too much time with
it. You just got at it. Yeah. There's another saying, but I can't say them. Take some serious.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bob Livingston. I represent the Oregon State Firefighters Council. I'm also a firefighter and paramedic here in the capital city. The committee administrators are passing out testimony, written testimony from the Oregon Health Division as well as from our organization, and a letter from Fire Chief Dennis Murphy from Springfield. House Bill 3479 will improve the process in regards to EMT's investigation for the Oregon Health Division. It had unanimous support in the House. This will improve the process by further delineating what investigation process will take place and how it will take place. I would just like to close by complimenting the Oregon Health Division on working together to come up with a bill that we think is good for the citizens of Oregon as well as the EMTs who provide emergency medical services to the citizens of Oregon. With that, I would answer any questions.
Questions or comments for Mr. Livingston from my area in my fire department? Thank you very much, Mr. Livingston.
Thank you.
Want to move into work session?
We're in. Senator Miller moves House Bill
3479.
3479A and goes to the Senate floor to do pass recommendation. Any objections? I'm chairing that bill because the only one testified came from Salem, even though Springfield's in here and everything else. I'm chairing the bill. You understand that, Senator Byer? I'm doing it. Are there any other matters? Who are you handing out now?
Pretty quick.
Are there any other matters to come before us at this time?
No.
Yes.
Okay, Senator Miller.
Yeah.
You don't have any more? Are we done?
We're going into work session.
Thank you very much, committee, for putting up with me today. We're adjourned.